As you guys know, we are in our series, He is Greater, The Claims of Christ, and tonight we are going to be looking at how sheep relate to a shepherd. We're going to be looking at the Good Shepherd, and we're going to be in John chapter 10. So the Good Shepherd. I showed that video because there's something interesting that happens to sheep when they actually fall over and they can't get up. It's called that they are, quote, cast. Now, for you Bible scholars in here, you might recognize that word. It's a biblical word, like in Psalm chapter 42, verse 5, where David the psalmist says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul?" This word is actually an old English word that shepherds use for their sheep to describe a sheep that is on its back and it can't get up. How do sheep get in a position like this? You saw it struggling, you saw it moving its arms, you know, it's all goofy and everything. How do sheep get in a position like this? Well, number one, they get stuck, obviously. They get stuck. The sheep are roaming around, they get comfortable, they get lazy, and they sit down. But what they do is they sit down on a field that sort of has a little hole in it, a little dip. And so the sheep rolls over, gets lazy, and it actually rolls over onto its back, and there you go. It ends up like that. It can't get back up. Another reason how sheep get in that position is that they have too much wool on them, too much wool. They have all this fur, wool, and they go around and they actually pick up a bunch of stuff in their wool, like debris, manure, yeah, that's pretty gross, right? Different things like that, and it becomes so thick that when they lay down, the weight of it actually disables them from getting back up. And then finally, again, they just have too much weight. They're overweight, they're fat, and they simply cannot get back on their feet. But you saw how in that video, that sheep is 100% defenseless. That sheep can't do anything. It can't even get back on its own feet. And so the point in showing that is that sheep are completely defenseless. They are in need of a, again, they are in need of a shepherd. That's right. Sheep are in need of a shepherd. And I'm not going to show this video, but another way that sheep actually get hurt in that position is that animals come and attack them. They're laying there with their feet all up in the air, and animals come and attack them. But also another really weird thing is that within a few hours, they will actually die because a whole bunch of gases form within their stomach, and they somehow die. I don't know if they like explode or something, but you know, they actually die within a few hours. So it is bad to be in that position. It is bad to be a sheep without a shepherd. Did you know that the Bible describes us, human beings, as sheep? Did you know that? We are sheep. Psalm chapter 100, verse 3. "Know that the Lord, He is good. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture." Isaiah 53, verse 6 says that we all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. Matthew 9, 36, when Jesus saw the crowds, when he looked out at them, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So we are described as sheep. And when the Bible describes us as sheep, it's not exactly a compliment. Case in point, Pastor Jason right here. Okay? When the Bible calls us sheep, it's not exactly a compliment. I mean, honestly, look at him, you know? But sheep, they're defenseless. Quite frankly, to put it blunt, they're stupid. They need help. So it's not exactly a compliment when the Bible calls us sheep. Like that video, we too, like sheep, can get stuck. We can get caught in ruts. In our Christian walk, we can become lazy and lukewarm, and we roll over, so to speak, and we don't get back up. We have too much wool on us, so to speak. We pick up all the wrong things, and we're consumed with everything that's not good, or we're just too heavy. We're weighed down by sin, the sin that so easily ensnares us, and we can't walk. We can't get back on our feet unless we are helped by someone. And who is that that helps us? Jesus, our good shepherd. And so as sinners, we have many of the characteristics of sheep. And without a shepherd, we too, like that sheep, we will suffer. We'll suffer the natural repercussions that will come that a sheep has without a shepherd. For example, we'll go astray. You know, sheep have very poor eyesight. They can go on trails that lead to nowhere. They can go into enemy territory without even knowing it. Did you know that in Turkey, one sheep went astray and actually fell off a cliff? And guess how many sheep followed it? 1,500. 1,500 sheep followed the one sheep that went off the cliff. 1,500. But get this. Guess how many died? Only 450. Why? Because all those sheep started piling up and they cushioned the other sheep. They wouldn't die. And I just imagine with these sheep falling over, there's a whole bunch of cast sheep, hundreds of them lying on the ground, you know, like, it's just funny. But they're stupid. They go in that direction. I just recently heard, maybe you heard about it, about a man who was just trapped at Mount Rubido. Anybody hear about that? Yeah, there was a man who got trapped at Mount Rubido, like that sheep that fell off the cliff. That's sort of what happened. This man right here, well, that's the man who rescued him, okay? There was a guy who was hiking at night, and he got stuck in between those rocks right there. And he was there, forget it, not 4 hours, 4 days. 4 days, okay? He was stuck at Mount Rubido for 4 days. It's like, how does that happen, right? Can't you call up for help or something? He was, but he was too far off the path. He became dehydrated after 4 days with no food or water. And then finally, that man that was in that picture was walking his dog one morning, who just happened to be a rescue dog. What a coincidence, right? And the dog smelled the man, and he went and rescued him. And actually, that guy goes to our church. Pretty cool. He was at my wedding. I don't know him, though. But anyways, someone that Michelle knows. And he rescued him. Why? Because the rescue dog was there. The sheep is rescued because a shepherd was there. That lost man is rescued because the rescue dog was there. Did you know that sheep also pollute their own ground until it's corrupt with parasites and disease? That's pretty gross to think about, isn't it? Sheep are hard to teach. They're slow to learn. They're tough to move. And for the most part, they're smelly and dirty. Also something is that sheep are very fearful. They're very timid. Maybe if you live in Norco and you have some sheep, right, like Dakota, you go up and you jump at the sheep. And what do? They jump. They jump back. They scatter. They get scared. And we too, like sheep, can become very fearful. We get scared at different things. Think about the scariest thing that's happened to you. What's something that just terrifies you, or that you maybe haven't done it, but the thought of it is just crazy or super scary? Think about skydiving. Wouldn't that just be nuts, right? You're jumping out of a plane. You're jumping out of a plane, and you're fearful. Well, it just so happens that one of our leaders, Lindsey Vonn, went skydiving. And so I wanted to show you her fearful reaction. Go ahead and check out this. Here she is. I love you. All right, there you go. Hey, give a round of applause for Lindsey Vonn. Come on, yes, yes. Now, you'd be terrified to jump out of a plane, right? But what made Lindsey Vonn jump out of that plane is because she knew she had a parachute and she knew she had an instructor, right? And so she was confident and she was secure and she trusted and put her whole hope in that person and in that parachute to help her with that. Without the parachute, she's lost. Without our good shepherd, we are lost as sheep. All of this, all these examples I bring up to show you is that we are sheep who are dependent. We need Jesus. We need the Lord. We are dependent upon him. And like sheep, we need a shepherd. And thankfully, praise God, we have a shepherd. His name is Jesus. He is our good shepherd. And so as I said, we are in our series, He is Greater, The Claims of Christ, where we've been looking through the I am statements in the Gospel of John. We've gone over how Jesus says, I am the bread of life, I am the light of the world, I am the door, I am the resurrection and the life, and tonight I am the good shepherd. And we will see that how, as the good shepherd, Jesus provides direction and protection. Go ahead and turn in your Bibles to John chapter 10. John chapter 10. Hope you're already there. We're going to start in verse 1. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." Verse 4. "When he has brought out all his own, he goes before him, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying. Verse 7. "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and that abundantly.'" In verse 11, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay my life down for the sheep." Let's pray together. Father, we come to you this evening and we ask that you would speak to us and minister to us through your word. That Jesus, you are the good shepherd and you are the greatest shepherd of all people. And I pray that you would lead us and guide us tonight into your word, into your truth, and that you would transform us. So open our eyes to see and our ears to hear, and that you would bless this time of Bible study, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. So you'll notice that I read the first part there of John chapter 10, and you may be thinking, oh, we've already gone over the door. Well, a little recap. Jesus says, "I'm the door." And what he's referring to is a sheepfold there in Israel where there is a shepherd and sheep, and he builds like a little den, like a 10-foot wall that's just there in the open, and sheep are able to go into it. But there's only one entrance. There's only one door, like an archway. But the thing is there's no real physical door that opens and closes. Jesus says himself that he is the door. And so what would happen is that a shepherd would actually stay in that entrance to the sheepfold, to the sheep area. And so Jesus is saying he is the door that stays there, meaning that he is the shepherd who cares for the sheep. He says that you will, as a sheep, go in and out, go to in and out, right? Amen. That's biblical, right? Right there. Go to in and out. That's why they have the verses underneath their cups. You will go in and out and find pasture. Yes. But no, you will go in and out and you will find pasture and you will have life and life abundantly under the direction and under the care of the good shepherd. He says in John 10:10 that the thief or the wolves, the false teachers, come only to steal, kill, and destroy. But I came that you'd have life and that abundantly. I am the good shepherd. That's how he continues on right now. I am the good shepherd. And this word good shepherd, or the word good, literally means the shepherd, the good one. He's saying, I am the shepherd, the good one. This word good means beautiful, and it refers to excellence. This title that Jesus has, the good shepherd, separates himself from every other shepherd on this planet. It makes him distinct and unique. And in this context, in this passage, we see that Jesus is describing himself as the good shepherd in comparison to the false shepherds, those people who were the spiritual leaders of Israel at the time. Yeah, they were bad people, the Pharisees. They weren't doing godly things. We see that throughout the Bible, God has actually used the skill and the vocation of a shepherd to gain leadership principles from. God described spiritual leaders as shepherds. You may even hear today that pastors are described as shepherds. They're there to take care of the flock, and they're there to point people to the ultimate shepherd, God himself. Did you know that many of the best leaders in the Bible were actually real-life shepherds, like David and Abraham and Moses and people like these? These spiritual shepherds, they're pointing people to the great shepherd, the shepherd who's over all. But the problem is, like in this passage, there are many people, spiritual leaders, shepherds, that aren't pointing people to the good shepherd. They're being disobedient. They're being ungodly, and they're not doing their job. Instead of being true shepherds who love the flock, some of the leaders of Israel were being selfish, and they didn't care for the flock. Listen to God's words to these shepherds in Ezekiel chapter 34, verses 1 to 6. The word of the Lord came to me, son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say to them, even to the shepherds, thus says the Lord God, ah, shepherds of Israel, who have been feeding yourselves, should not shepherds feed the sheep? You eat the fat, you clothe yourselves with the wool, you slaughter the fat ones, but you do not feed the sheep. The weak you have not strengthened, the sick you have not healed, the injured you have not bound up, the strayed you have not brought back, the lost you have not sought, and with force and harshness you have ruled them. So they were scattered because there was no shepherd, and they became food for all the wild beasts. My sheep were scattered. They wandered over all the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth with none to search or seek for them. That's the context that Jesus is saying, you know what? These people are thieves and robbers and strangers and hired hands. But I am the good shepherd. And just like the people of Israel at that time, there are many people today in our day and age who follow false shepherds. They're not following the true shepherd of life, God himself. You see, we're all in need of guidance, aren't we? We all need help. So we go to people like our parents, siblings, friends, pastors, teachers, coaches, counselors, and even celebrities and public figures to get guidance from them, to learn from them, to imitate their actions and to see how they do things. And although some people, they will point us in the right direction, will give us good, godly advice, which is helpful, there are many, many, many people who won't do that. And they'll actually point us in the wrong direction. Their advice and their instruction, their shepherding, instead of being helpful to us, it's actually harmful. But not so with Jesus. Instead of looking to the good shepherd, many people turn to false shepherds. And Jesus calls these people in this passage thieves, robbers, strangers, and hired hands. Let's start with thieves and robbers. They don't own the sheep. They're not theirs. They would try and come and jump over the 10-foot wall or however high it was to get into the sheepfold and come and actually steal the sheep. They wouldn't be able to call the sheep like, come here, come here, come here, right? They wouldn't be able to do that. Why? Because the sheep don't recognize their voice. They're not going to follow them. It's like these neighborhood cats that I have, right? Gosh, I just can't get rid of them, you know? So I try to, like, ploy them and say, come here, kitty, come here. And they won't listen to me, you know? They just run away right when they see me. Why? Because I'm a stranger. They know I'm a thief and a robber, and I want to take them away, right? Not really. But sorry for all you cat lovers. But they don't follow the voice because he's not their shepherd. Because the sheep had no shepherd, or they had a bad shepherd, sometimes these thieves would actually come and steal the sheep. They would get a hold of them. Why? Because there's no shepherd watching. The shepherd's slacking off. He's not doing his job. So the thieves would actually come in, and they would take. They would steal, kill, and destroy. And the same is true for many people today. They don't know Jesus as their good shepherd. They aren't following him. And because they aren't, they've been stolen. They're under the power of someone else. And we believe biblically that those who don't know Jesus as the good shepherd are what the Bible says are under the sway of the wicked one. That they are following the prince of the power of the air, Satan, or demonic forces. They are lost in the world without direction and protection. They don't know which way is the right way to go in life. God created this life, and he created it to be lived a certain way, and they're not living it that way. They're under misdirection. Secondly, Jesus describes the false shepherds as strangers. They don't know the sheep. When Jesus is talking about his true sheep, true believers, he says this, "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." Unfortunately, those who don't know Jesus as their good shepherd, they will follow a stranger. Why? Because they don't know the voice of a true shepherd. They'll just hear a random voice and they will follow. They don't know their true shepherd's voice. They will follow what sounds good. They will believe lies and false promises. It's sort of like those people that they just believe whatever others tell them. They're not using intelligence. They just follow after strangers. They don't really know them because they're strangers. And they don't heed the stranger danger advice, right? You guys all know that, stranger danger. They don't take that advice. And they actually start to follow these people. But the thing is, there's no personal relationship. Why? Because they're a stranger. They don't know each other. It reminds me today of so many different celebrities and sports stars and public figures. These people that us as sheep, so to speak, don't know, and they don't know us, but people are crazy about them, absolutely crazy. And they follow everything they say, and they do the things that those people do. They imitate them. They try to live their lives like them, and those people consume their thoughts. I'd have to say, it's a false shepherd. It's a stranger. They don't know them, and they don't know you. They don't care about you because they don't know you. So I'm sorry if I burst some of your bubbles in here tonight, but that's just the reality. We can't follow their true instruction because we don't really know them. And so they're giving misguided information. And of course, some people are able to promote good, godly advice, but it's few and far in between with many of these people. Why be obsessed with someone you don't know and someone who doesn't know you? Rather, you can follow the good shepherd who knows you and you know him. And then finally, Jesus describes the false shepherds as, quote, hired hands. Hired hands. And they don't love the sheep. Hired hands are people who, well, get hired to come and fill in for the shepherd for a little bit. Maybe the shepherd has to go out of town or do something else. So the shepherd hires someone to fill his spot. It's sort of like a substitute teacher, right? At school, the teacher has a sub. But the thing is that substitute doesn't have the same relationship with you as the teacher does, do they? They don't know you. They only watch the sheep because they were paid to do so. They weren't true shepherds. They didn't actually care like the true shepherd would. They just did it to get something. Obviously, some substitute teachers will do a good job, but others are there for the paycheck, and that's the perspective, I guess you can say, that this context is in, that they're there and they're like just doing their own thing and not caring or whatever. A hired hand, somebody who just fills in the spot, doesn't really care, and they're there just to get a check. Jesus says in verse 12, "He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep." So this guy just fills in, and he's like, "Oh, snap, a wolf's coming? I'm out. I'm not going to risk my life for these sheep. I don't even know these sheep. I don't even care. I'm out of here." And he runs away. He doesn't sacrifice for the sheep. And it's like that in our lives many times, where we have substitutes that come and take the place of God in our lives, and they're hired hands. They're people there that we're getting advice and instruction and encouragement from, so to speak. But they're not giving it because they care, and they're not giving it necessarily out of biblical instruction. We just hear from them, they share, but they're not truly there to minister to you, to love on you, and to sacrifice for you. And so when tough times come, where are they? They're not there anymore. We've all had that in our lives, I'd assume. And so these false shepherds, the strangers, the robbers, the thieves, and the hired hands, they don't love the sheep, they don't know the sheep, and they don't own the sheep. And sadly, many people in our day and age as sheep are looking to these people in our culture for instruction and for advice, for direction to lead them. And they're not looking to the good shepherd. They follow them, but ultimately, like those dumb sheep, they end up falling off a cliff, right? or they fall over on their back and they can't get up. They need a shepherd. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. As we see in this passage that we read, Jesus, as our shepherd, does several things. The first thing that we see that Jesus does is in verse 14, where he says that he is the good shepherd who knows his sheep. He knows his sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus knows us. He knows you personally and intimately. This word know in the original language is described as the intimate love relationship between a husband and a wife, where they know each other fully, where biblically the two become one flesh. They know each other. Jesus knows our past. He knows our present. He knows our future. He knows our struggles, our failures, and our sin. And actually, in this Eastern culture, many shepherds would name their sheep, like Snuggly and Furry, I don't know what they'd name them, but they would name their sheep and actually call them by name. It's pretty cool to think about, maybe like you do with your pets. They name their sheep and would call them by name. That's why verse 3 says, Jesus calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Because Jesus knows us, he knows what we need. Think about that. Jesus knows every single one of your needs. Every single one of your needs. Now, I need to clarify. He doesn't necessarily say that he'll provide all that you want, though. Jesus will provide for all that we need, but not necessarily all that we want. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, God will supply every need, not want, every need, not greed, but every need of yours according to his riches in Christ Jesus. Jesus knows what we need. And those things that we don't get, we can assume that Jesus knows we don't need them and he knows better. You can say Father knows best and he knows what we need. Just like a good father here in this earth would take care of his child and say, hey, no, don't do that. Don't do this. Yes, do that and do this. Jesus knows what we need. He knows us. And not only does Jesus know us as our shepherd, but as his sheep, we know him. We have a relationship with him. We recognize his voice. We know when he is calling. Picture a sheep out in the field, and it's out grazing and eating and doing all these things. And then the shepherd calls them. The sheep recognize the voice, and they come. Or think about it with your dog, maybe. That's a similar picture. The dog hears your voice and turns around and comes to you. We know when he is calling. And we know when others call and it's not the voice of the Lord. And what's the best way we know the Lord's voice? Is through his word. How do we know Jesus' voice? It's through his word and through the work of the Holy Spirit, where God is ministering to our hearts and sharing with us. Get this. Did you see it there in verse 14? Jesus says that his relationship with the sheep is so close that he actually compares it to his relationship with the Father. He says, I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Now that is crazy. That's crazy to think about. This is the deepest intimacy possible, that within the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, there is community and oneness and intimacy. And Jesus is saying, my relationship with the sheep and their relationship with me is just like my relationship with the Father, where I love him and he loves me. And that's not something that I can fully comprehend, but it's something that I trust in and adore. That is crazy to think about. He knows you in the deepest, most profound of ways. And because of this, we can trust in Jesus, our good shepherd. Amen? We can do that. We can trust in him because he knows us. The second thing we see in this text, that the good shepherd dies for his sheep. The good shepherd dies for his sheep. And I encourage you to write these things down. The good shepherd dies for his sheep. Verse 11. You saw that the hired hands those people, the substitutes, they didn't care for the sheep. They would run away when danger would come. They would not sacrifice their bodies or put their bodies on the line for the sheep. But it's not so with our good shepherd, Jesus. He says this, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. This is the greatest of love. When you think about love, what is it? This is the greatest of love. In fact, John 15, 13 says, greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. Why are we calling this series greater? Because Jesus is greater, this greater love that he has. By sacrificing for his sheep, we know that God loves us. He shows us that he loves us by dying for us. 1 John chapter 3, verse 16. By this we know love, that he laid down his life for us. That's how we know love, because Jesus laid his life down for us. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. God shows or demonstrates his love for us, in that while we were sinners, Christ died for our sins. Do you want to know what love is? Are you feeling unloved tonight? Maybe you've never experienced true love in this life, and I'm not talking about a relationship, boyfriend-girlfriend love. I'm talking about true love between people, that you know that they love you and you love them. This is true love. This is true love that Christ demonstrated and showed his love for you, because he loves you, by dying on the cross for your sins. As the good shepherd, Jesus went far beyond the call of a regular shepherd to defend his sheep, even to lay his life down for the sheep. Jesus didn't just risk his life, but he willingly, voluntarily laid it down for the sheep. This is interesting because many people think that Jesus was kidnapped or stolen and he got crucified and it was against his decision. Like he was helpless. But no, did you know that when the soldiers came to arrest Jesus, he willingly laid his life down? He, in a sense, turned himself in. Do you remember how he said, I could call thousands of angels down right now if I wanted to, right? And Peter tries and goes, and he attacks the soldiers, cuts off their ear, and he's like, Peter, what are you doing? I know what I'm doing. I'm going to the cross. I'm willingly laying my life down. I love this. We've been talking about how the I am statement is a powerful statement, right? I am. Did you know that when they came to Jesus there in the garden, they said, who are you? We're seeking after Jesus. And they said, is that you? And he said, I am. And guess what happened? Hundreds of soldiers fell to the ground. That is an awesome scene. Jesus says, I am. And boom, all of them fall to the ground with their swords in hand. Powerful. Why? Because he's the I am. He's the Yahweh. He's the I am who I am, the God man. That's who he is. And then he willingly gave himself. Even on the cross, Jesus was in full control, where he says, it is finished, and the Bible says he yielded up his spirit. He yielded it up. He died, and he died at the time that he saw fit. Right when it was finished. When what was finished? Him paying for our sins. The good shepherd knows us, and he knows that death is our greatest enemy. Sure, there's wolves, there's strangers, there's hired hands, but he knows that death is our greatest enemy. And so what did he do? He laid his life down and defeated that enemy by being our substitute, by taking our place on the cross. And that is love. And because of that, we can trust in our good shepherd. Our third point from the text. We didn't read it. I'm going to read it. It's verses 27 and 28. In this passage, a little bit of time has gone by, and Jesus is talking to some more religious leaders. But he brings up the exact same thing that he was already talking about, that he is a shepherd. It's there in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 28. One of my favorite passages. Just listen to it. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life. What does he do? He gives. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Throughout this passage that we've been looking at in John 10, Jesus uses the words, my own, or my sheep, a personal pronoun. Those sheep, you in here who are a sheep who believe in Jesus, you, he says, you're my sheep. I own you. You are mine. I know you and I own you. And why does Jesus use this possessive term own? It's because he bought you. He purchased you. That you are his. How did Jesus purchase you? Well, by our second point, by dying on the cross for your sins, by paying the penalty for the crimes that we've committed against God for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 says, you are not your own, you were bought with a price. You're not your own, you were bought with a price. Some of you are like, not my own? What do you mean? That's a good thing. That's a good thing, because we saw as a sheep what happens when you are your own, right? And you're on your back and you're floating all around, you don't know what's going on. I am glad that I am not my own, that I was bought with a price, and that Jesus paid for my sins and made me one of his sheep. This verse, verses 27 to 28, provides a great picture. Did you see that Jesus said, you're my sheep, and no one will snatch you out of my hand? It's the picture of a shepherd holding his sheep. And then he says, and my Father, who's greater than all, no one will be able to snatch you out of his hands. It's a picture that Jesus has his arm or his hand wrapped around, and then the Father does too, like a hug. You're doubly protected by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. If you're Christ's sheep here tonight, you can be sure that you are safe and secure for salvation. You're safe and secure for salvation. Jesus said it there. My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life. It's given to you. Free present for you. I give it to them and they will never perish. Listen to those words. They will never perish. If you are in Christ tonight, your salvation does not depend upon you, but it's dependent upon the work that Jesus did on your behalf. And that is a good thing, isn't it? That is a good thing. Why? Because we sin and we screw up and we fail and we say, oh man, I don't know if I'm saved anymore. Man, I gotta keep going forward, or I gotta do something. I don't know. Jesus saved me again. Not so. You are saved because Jesus paid for your sins once and for all. And you get to come back to him in repentance, not to be saved again, but to restore that right relationship with God where there's communion together and relationship. To run back into the Father's arm and say, Daddy, I love you. That's what we get to do. That's what we get to do when Jesus is our good shepherd. In John chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus said this, and this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given to me, but raise it up on the last day. This is God's will, that I should lose nothing that he's given to me. John 6, 39. Jesus is a good shepherd, and he's not going to lose one of his sheep. He's not going to lose one, zero, nothing, because he's a good shepherd. He knows you. He knows your tendencies. He knows what you can do and what you can't do, and he's going to provide for you, and he is going to be there for you. Jesus is our good shepherd. We are his sheep, and this should bring great comfort to your life. Have you ever felt like you need direction in life? Have you ever felt like you need instruction, protection, direction? Jesus is there. He's the good shepherd, and he can do all of that for you. Now, I know you're thinking that all sounds great. That's awesome. And that's good. But how should I respond to this? You're like, okay, Jesus is a good shepherd. It's awesome. How should I respond to this? Well, obviously, with worship and praise and submission to our good shepherd. Not a bad type of submission, but willing, saying, Lord, I know, I'd be stupid not to follow you. You're the one who knows life. You created it. I'm going to follow you. But it's really cool because in the Bible, we actually have a portion of scripture that gives a response where a sheep know a shepherd. And it's Psalm chapter 23. a great passage that many of you guys have memorized. Anybody have it memorized? Anybody? Great. It's not like some prideful thing, like two hands, right? Okay? No, not like that, okay? It's an awesome passage. It says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. I won't be afraid." Why? "Because he is with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This psalm is written from the perspective of a sheep. It's David who's writing it, and he was a shepherd, and he's picturing himself as a sheep. In this passage, it gives 17 personal pronouns. I, me, my. I know my shepherd. And then this passage, it describes the full year cycle of a sheep. That the sheep starts off at the home ranch or in the sheepfold. That it goes to green pastures and goes and grazes. That it goes up to the still waters by the creek. That it goes through the mountain valleys up to the mountaintops, to the tablelands. And that finally, it makes the trip back home to the home ranch. A full year cycle, a picture of our entire life. That Jesus is with us in every season of life because he is our shepherd. He knows what we need. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. His care brings contentment. His shepherding produces satisfaction. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He feeds me. He gives me drink." Think about sheep. They get to actually lay down in their food and eat it. Isn't that crazy? That's like having a house made of bacon, right? Like, or you're laying in your bed and your bed sheet's like a burrito, you know? It's like you get to lay down and eat at the same time. They have a good life, I guess you can say. But this isn't necessarily about food. When David's saying, "You make me lie down," he's forcing me to lie down. Sheep are stubborn and they won't lie down. He's forcing me to lie down. He knows I need rest. He knows I need nourishment, green pastures, and water. He knows I need that. He restores my soul. So when the sheep is cast and flipped on its back, guess what? The shepherd comes with the shepherd's hook and yanks it and puts it back up on its feet. And it's good to go and doesn't die. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He leads me in the right path, a righteous path, a godly path. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. He will set you on the right path when you trust in him. Verse 4, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil because you are with me. He takes us through the valley. He doesn't leave us there. He takes us through it. And through the valley comes to the tableland or the mountaintop, the place to graze. He's there with us in the tough times, and he will bring us through it. We won't necessarily get over things, but we will get through them with the shepherds guiding and leading. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I love this picture. A shepherd has a rod. What does he do with the rod? He goes and beats the wolves, and he goes and tells them to get out. He goes and protects his sheep. What does he do with the staff? He yanks his sheep back together. He brings them in and provides direction. Hey, don't walk off that way. Yoink, pulls them back, right? Protection and direction. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What does this mean? Like a sheep sitting at a table? No, not exactly. It's a flat land, a table land, so to speak, a place to go and graze. My cup overfloweth. You anoint my head with oil. Did you know sheep actually have these little pockets in their nose that flies go into and drop off stuff and causes diseases in the sheep's nose. So the sheep will go up to a rock and like bang its head and it looks like completely weird, right? But the shepherd would come and put oil on its nose to protect it. So he protects us from disease, from sin. And then finally, David says, at the end of it, "The Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in his sheepfold, in his house forever." Tonight, I hope you see that Jesus is the greatest of shepherds. That there are many false shepherds in this world. Some who even mean well, but they're leading us in a direction that's not godly. In a direction that's actually not helpful, but harmful. And Jesus alone is to be our great shepherd. And then we're to have under-shepherds who are below us, who are below God, who actually come and care in this life, like pastors and many of the leaders here that you're in groups with, to come and shepherd you and direct you and help you. And I pray that that's what we are here for, and that we can do that for you. Tonight, I hope you see that Jesus is greater, greater than any shepherd in this life, that you can follow his lead, that you can trust in his timing, that you can believe in his promises, that you can rely on his providence, and that you can rest in his presence. That you are safe and secure in the hands of the great, the good shepherd, the nail-pierced hands of the good shepherd. Let's go ahead and pray together as I invite the worship team back up. Father, we come to you this evening and we thank you that you have saved those who've put their faith in you, that you love us, and that you've given yourself, you've given your son for us. Jesus, we love you and we praise you for who you are and what you've done in our lives, and that you are the good shepherd to lead us and to direct us and to guide us. And Lord, I recognize that there are many in here tonight that may not be following your leading, that they may not know you, that they don't know that you are the good shepherd. And Lord, I pray that they would come to know you, that they would see that you are the greatest of shepherds. You're better than all, that there are strangers and wolves and hired hands out there that don't deliver, but you always will, for you're the good shepherd. And so if you're here tonight, and that describes you, and that you need to get right with the Lord and to come to him as your good shepherd, to say, I haven't been following the Lord. I've never put my faith in him. I've been following after false shepherds who have been leading me astray. I simply encourage you to raise your hand, and we can pray together to ask Jesus to be your shepherd. To raise your hand to simply say, I want to follow his leading. So if that's you here tonight, simply go ahead and raise your hand and we can pray together. You don't have to be afraid. You can trust Jesus that he's the good shepherd and that there's people here to encourage you. And that he wants to lead you and he wants to guide you and he's calling out to you. That he says to you tonight, if you put your faith and trust in me, I know you and you know me and no one can snatch you out of my hands. And so if that's you here tonight, I want you to simply pray a simple prayer of faith. To pray this prayer and say, Lord Jesus, would you come into my life? Would you forgive me of my sin? Would you be my shepherd? And would you lead me and guide me and direct me? And I thank you for your sacrifice that you died on the cross for my sins. And I put my faith in you. In Jesus' name, amen.